Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Yes, very community-oriented radio. We have lots of things to talk about today. Specifically, it's August. We're going to talk about too many tomatoes and maybe too many lots of other things
Such
coming
a
out of
problem.
Your garden. What a problem. What happened to summer anyway? My goodness. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We meet here once a week, live, Tuesday at noon, to talk about what's on Central Iowa's plate. We like to talk about food and farming and lots of other things.
Culture.
And culture. And culture.
Agriculture.
And we get by support from the community.
Yes, support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames, community-owned, community-focused since 1974, open daily 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
Yes, we do. In our studio today, it's not just Donna and Lana. We have Mary Swander. Welcome, Mary Swander.
The poet laureate of Iowa.
Thank you.
And she's here. She's here. So, Mary, what tomatoes did well for you this year?
Well, I plant a couple of varieties of tomatoes, and my favorite is Wild Matt. It's a tiny, tiny little cherry tomato. And
Wild Matt?
Like Wild Matt.
Matthew?
Yeah,
Wild Matt.
Yeah, M-A-T-T. Ha. And I think it's originally from Mexico. And
what color is it?
It's bright red, tiny little thing.
Little thumbnail one?
About the size of a quarter, or a little smaller maybe.
Uh-huh.
And it is so sweet and so wonderful. You trellis it. It's one of those. And it seems to withstand everything, all of our bad weather. And so my other tomatoes are doing what you described last week, which is getting big and juicy and splitting. And the Wild Matt is just holding up just fine. And I harvest them all until, you know, we have a hard freeze. They just keep coming. And last year, actually, one of my Amish neighbors came over, and I had so many of them. And she said, This is in Kelowna. And she said, I'll just help you with that. And she harvested like 3 buckets full of them and took them to her church banquet. So they're prolific.
Can you preserve them in any manner?
Yeah, I dehydrate them, and some of them I, you know, just split in two.
Do you
and
have
make
to cut them to dehydrate
them? Yeah, I do. Yeah. And then the other ones, I do my technique where I put them in the blender and juice them up and then put them on a sheet in the dehydrator, and then they turn into a kind of a all like a fruit roll-up. And then I put that back in the blender, and they turn into a powder. And I add, garlic and basil and things like
dehydrated.
That.
Dehydrated?
Dehydrated.
Uh-huh.
And then it makes, depending on how much water you add, you have tomato sauce or tomato soup or anything in between.
Oh, a dried tomato
or
base.
Or tomato dust.
tomato dust.
Right.
tomato paste. Yeah. And whatever you want to put with it, then you have this constant supply. I just have like this big, huge freezer bag of it that takes me through the winter.
Very good. We'll be talking more about what to do with all of those tomatoes. My goodness, I think everybody has such a problem. Oh, my goodness. So ISU students are back, and the state fair is come and gone, and tomatoes are bountiful. And speaking...
Finally.
Yes, finally. Finally. Speaking of state fair, I have a little news item here from the Donalana Kitchen news desk. Tick-a-tick, 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 tick-a-tick. That's the ticker tape. Tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. From an article by Jim Hightower, a fine journalist who knows a little bit about agriculture, he tells us that, believe it or not, the District of Columbia has a state fair.
That would be as in our nation's capital, right?
Washington,
D.C. has its own
State fair. Everybody should have a state fair. And they mentioned that, yes, well, Washington, D.C., there's not just big government buildings there. People have backyard gardens, and they're very proud of their vegetables. And they have a state fair and judging and things like that. It turns out that Washington, D.C. voters passed a referendum in November to legalize marijuana and even to allow local growers to grow up to 6 plants.
Homegrown pot. Okay.
So this is one of the states in our nation that is kind of experimenting with this, and the sun is still rising, and we're doing good. But because the state fair in the District of Columbia is coming up, they have a new category. There's going to be they're awarding a marijuana bud blue ribbon.
Well, it is a horticultural item.
It is, and I think it's great. People are proud of their plants, and they're
and
bringing
now it's
bringing
coming
them
out
in.
Of the shadows.
Yes, yeah, right, out of the shadows. And one thing they do want to say, there is a little a note here. Contrary to the judging of the tastiest tomato category, which they also have, the entry form for the best bud contest specifies rather sternly that the judges will not sample or consume their submission because they're afraid that the whole bunch of them will dissolve into an uncontrollable bunch of giggles. So we don't want to have that. But they will
give up. That means you can grow it and get it back again, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Anyway, that's good. And now that it's legal, the people at the D.C. State Fair wanted to highlight this new agricultural freedom and show off their local talents there. So,
well, they are rather pretty plants. Yeah. And, you know, when I was a child, we had a lot of, before I had any idea about the medicinal qualities of it, it was ditchweed. Mm-hmm. And they grow, it was grown for hemp, right, during World War II.
Right.
And so all over the fields in the Midwest, it just grew
rampantly. We used to have
rampantly.
We had a cave, you know, for a root cellar cave. And when I was a kid, it was growing all over the top of the cave.
Yeah.
That was kind of a common occurrence.
I don't know how potent it was or anything
no,
like that.
I think
well,
that
there's cannabis for hemp, and there's cannabis to smoke. And just like everything else, people are breeding and crossbreeding and doing all sorts. So
improving. Crop
best,
improving.
Best of luck to all those folks. And 3 cheers for all the stuff that goes on at state fairs across the country. Fantastic. We're going to be talking about tomatoes and maybe preserving too many other things. My tomato crop just all of a sudden came in, and it's just lovely. I have a couple of favorite sort of tomatoes that I always grow, and I have lots that I always grow. And every year, different ones do better than other years. So you
depends
can't really say.
On the all right,
yeah.
So what are your wet-loving tomatoes this year? Because that's what we have.
Surprisingly, Costolutos.
They're so beautiful. If you guys have never seen a Costoluto, go to the farmer's market and look. They are kind of lobed, rounded.
Lumpy.
Yeah, and a velvet-like interior.
Yeah, they're made for, and really good for, they're a classic for Italian sauces, and they're really fine for salsas, too, because they chop up and they kind of stay together.
They have some texture, and they don't immediately juice everything out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another one, now you'd think the Brandywines would be splitting. But I've picked them a little green, and the Brandywines are doing okay this year. And I also love to grow another Italian big, big variety called a Piriforma, which means big pear-shaped. Ugly-looking thing, big thing, well, narrow at the top, big fat butt on the bottom.
Is that a cooker, too?
It's a cooker. You can slice it, but it is a great sauce tomato.
And what color is that?
It is very red, and it's very big. And that it's slightly lobed, too. But those 3 big things are doing real well this year. And then also a lot of little tomatoes are doing well. I guess if you catch them, like your Matt tomato, if you catch them soon enough, they're just fine. I do like Jean Flamme, which is a French heirloom, and that one's doing well.
What color is that?
It's goldish on the outside, pinkish on the inside.
Ooh.
Jean Flamme means yellow flame.
Yellow flame.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
And it's tasty, and it's only this ping pong ball or tennis ball, the biggest size. But those little ones, I do like those little
and
ones.
And you do have some of the green zebras also, right?
Yes, I do. And those are always, for me, in my garden, they're always late, and they're just coming on, and they're doing okay.
Well, what I love about the green zebras is you know, if you make a sliced tomato plate, nothing simpler in the world, just put a little salt, pepper, and olive oil on it. You don't even have to put the basil on. But if you've got those colors of the red, the pink, the yellow, and the green zebras, it's like a plate of jewels.
Yeah.
So pretty and translucent and dribbly and yummy.
Yes. Impress your friends. Surprise your friends. There are always those folks that look at a tomato that's not red and they just sort of are taken aback.
Right. They think it's like a green as in unripe tomato.
Or the tomatoes that are called black that are very purplish.
Oh
dear.
Gorgeous.
There's something wrong with that one. I don't know. But they all taste good. It's wonderful to celebrate the bounty. Oh, I ran across another one that I got as a freebie seed packet from Fedco Seeds ages ago. And this is a green cherry. It was called Green Inside Cherry.
Oh, really?
And here's these little cherries that look kind of khaki-colored on the outside. Again, not very
when they're
appealing.
Ripe?
When they're ripe. I mean, when they're ripe, they're kind of khaki-colored. They get a little yellow. Inside, just as green as grass and very, very nice. I'll be growing more of those. And I have had a few of those, and people grab those up. I have one plant. But look for those. Because if Fedco was giving them away as a freebie 2 years ago, and so look for that. There's all kinds of things out there. Anyway,
that's at the farmer's market, the downtown Ames farmer's market, Saturday mornings, opening at... Is it 9 or 8?
8 o'clock. Oh, bright and early. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
And go till 12:30 because... Over the past years, we've noticed that people kind of stumble out along about 12 o'clock and show up with their coffee cup and say, oh.
I missed the market.
So it's open till 12:30. Get those tomatoes because, like Mary said, this cool and wet weather is kind of doing interesting things. They may not last long. You were, Mary, you were talking about in a sense, you were making a soup. That you dehydrate.
Dried soup.
It's a dried soup mix. You can use it for any tomato, anything.
That
tomato paste,
wonderful.
You know.
Do you put
tomato
anything,
juice? Yeah.
Anything else besides the tomato? Do you like pre-mix?
I put basil. I dry all these other things. You know, I put basil, onion, a little bit of garlic. There's other.
We're going to add some lovage to her mix. This
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that would be great.
We love the lovage.
That would be really great. And then you know, you can. Add other things as you use it. Mm-hmm. The other ingredients mm-hmm. as you use it. So it's so handy to have.
So wait, you dehydrate all of. Oh wait, first you grind them in the blender,
right? Into a liquid.
Uh huh.
Into a liquid,
and
then
seed stems the whole.
Well, you de-stem them, but you can grind up the seeds.
Seeds and the skins.
Right.
Okay.
Both works. It's so easy. You don't have to spend a million hours. Chopping skinning and everything. And so put them in the blender. And then you want to lightly grease a...
Like a cookie sheet.
Right, like a cookie sheet.
With sides on it.
With sides, right. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Or else you'll have a mess. Mm-hmm. So you want to grease that so that it won't stick. And then you put it in the dehydrator. And out comes, this... thing that's like a fruit roll-up. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of...
How long does it usually take to dry if the weather's kind of warm
maybe
and sunny?
Maybe 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, that quickly?
Yeah. And
could you do it on a low oven temperature, too?
You could.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then you take off this wonderful, flexible tomato...
Glop?
Roll-up. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a tomato roll-up. And then what I do, I just take the scissors and cut it into, you know, chunks and then put it. Of course, now the blender has to be very, 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 very dry. And then put it in there and then you just zip it, powder it.
Oh, you could use a food processor for that, too.
You could.
Even better than a blender.
You could.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted it really fine, put it in the coffee grinder.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it really,
so
really
your tomato roll up has to be pretty dry.
Very dry. You don't want it. You don't want it. You know, damp or it. What
or
happens?
Sticky.
It usually dries from the bottom first, and you'll get like kind of, mushy places on the top if it's not dry. So you have to make sure the whole thing is dry.
It's kind of tricky to do drying this time of year. My food dryers are on the
back porch. And depending on what the weather is like outside, it takes longer or
– Yeah. No,
it just kind
if it's really humid, it'll take more than 3 or 4 hours. Right. If you get a real nice dry day like today, then you're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do either of you to smush up stewed tomatoes or soups, do either of you use an immersible blender?
Oh, that's I have one. That's a good idea.
Those are lovely.
That would be easier than the regular blender.
Yeah, no, that's true. The immersible blender would be fantastic.
It took me a while to kind of get used to this thing. It's this cord on it, and I'm going to stick it in a big pot. Oh, boy. I'm over my Luddite tendencies here, and I think the immersible blender
it has its uses. I have one.
It's quite nice, yes. Any tips for picking tomatoes, when do you know a tomato is ripe? And let's just stick with the red ones here. I always tend to.
Don't you pinch them?
I pick mine what I would consider a little bit green.
Right.
You just want to do that. I mean, because especially this weather now, they're gonna go the way of all flesh.
Well, that's exactly it. You want to get them a little bit before they're ripe, and then just.
And then what do? Just spread them out on the table with
the
stem side down and the bottoms up?
Right.
Yeah, I learned this a long time ago. If you store tomatoes upside down, their shoulders are strongest. So if they are sitting upside down.
Right, they won't juice out.
You can either you can even kind of stack them too deep or so that way.
Deep?
Because I put them in boxes, and sometimes I store for boxes. And, of course, you don't – be careful. You always have to look through them. There's always one that gives up and
gushes.
Oh, I know.
I keep mine kind of spread out on a table in the kitchen. And when I see a lot of fruit flies gathering, I know I have a little problem.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like the fruit fly alarm.
Yeah, luckily we have cool weather this week, and it's not too bad at all. What about that? Now, that's one method of freezing or of putting dry tomatoes up. I canned some. I made some cooked some down.
Just
in
cooked
a big
them down
pot and canned them. That's fine. This is my tip. There's always too much water, as far as I'm concerned, in a big pot of tomatoes. So I stew them down and let them sit for a good long time, and then use a measuring cup, dip the clear liquid off the top, and put that in separate freezer bags. That's fine soup stuff.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's called tomato water.
Tomato water.
Uh-huh. And so it's also a good cocktail ingredient.
Yeah, it's just lovely. And then what's left is thicker. It's good.
Well, my dumbing down and quickie trick, because I am fed up with canning, is I put them all in the slow cooker, crock pot. Let them go till they get kind of thick and gloppy. I mean, thick. You get rid of all the juice. You can even plug it in and let it go overnight. And then I run it through my mother's old cone food mill, which is all a hand thing, pulls out the kind of skin and some of the seeds. Then you really got a paste, and then I freeze it in freezer bags.
Freeze it in freezer bags.
Yeah. I'm over canning, at least for the moment.
That's how I got into dehydrating. I was like, this canning thing, no wonder my grandma used to get so crotchety when...
It comes at the hottest time of the year.
Steaming up your kitchen. And that's why people had summer kitchens outside, because it was so hot doing that work.
If you can make your own summer kitchen, what I do is I set up a camp stove, a Coleman stove outside, and do all of the – I still do the cooking down on the stove so I can watch it. But the boiling of the water and for doing the pickles, and I put that outside.
But, if you want, like I put my crock pot outside if it's too hot.
Good idea. Or
I use the old oven turkey roaster. If you got a bigger quantity, I put that on the front porch and plug it in and let it, blubble away there.
See, we can do this. And in our kitchens, and maybe even in your neighbor's kitchen, so you can borrow one. You can go do that sort of thing. It's not hard. And you'll feel ever so smug long about January when you feel like pizza or chili or tomato
soup. Yes, and you have your homemade product. Or also, it makes wonderful Christmas gifts if you start planning right now.
That's right.
Very, very good. Oh, cook that stuff down. Yes. And dry that stuff down. Oh, we do like our tomatoes. want to remind folks, we are listening to the Donalana Kitchen on KHOI, Community Radio. This is Community Radio. We're going to take a little music break here. And apropos of what we're talking about, this is the Barn Owl Band playing the First Tomato Polka. Back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking about what to do when you've got too many tomatoes.
I think this music you just played, I could put it on my CD player on repeat and just play it while I'm canning. No, I don't can. While I'm preparing tomatoes.
I think that's energetic. It's a good idea. And there's probably, I suppose they're even studying this over at ISU someplace. You know how dairy farmers have music on for the cows? And that's good. Well, maybe music while the tomatoes are cooking. I'm sure that's got to help.
Well, it certainly affects the mood of the cooker.
Yes, it does.
You can play music for the tomatoes as they're growing, too. Is
very good.
Seedlings.
Do you often go out in the garden with your banjo, Mary?
I do. I sing to my tomatoes.
Lana probably dances with her tomatoes.
I'm always singing when I work in the garden. However, yes, the garden does get music sometimes because, get this, we found that if raccoons or deer or whatever start bothering your garden, we've taken a log extension cord and put a radio out in the middle of the garden. But don't have it on all the time because they get interested in. Put it on a timer. And every now and then, the weather comes on or the music comes on. And it does scare them.
Startle them?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It does.
So
and
you
it
play KHOI out in the garden.
Yeah,
you
can do that. And it does help things a lot. However, one year we were doing that, we had a really bad time with raccoons kind of biting into our irrigation line. It was a really, really dry year. And I think it was raccoons. It could have been any other thing that wanted
water. Oh, those little sunny guns.
But we went out there actually 2-3 days in a row, and by the morning time, somebody had unplugged the radio. And we figured raccoons do have a sort of opposable thumb, so be careful. So play music to your tomatoes. Yes, Mary, you're here. You're here in your role as Poet Laureate of Iowa, and you have a story about.
Yes, she had an adventure this morning.
I did.
A performance. Tell us where you went and who you read for.
I was in Des Moines for the.
At 7 o'clock in the morning
for the International Motor Vehicle Administrator Conference.
Sounds like a very lively group.
It was about 3,000 people who were assembled, and this encompassed everything from DOT people to sheriffs to state patrol officers to local police, and there was a color guard with flags of Canada, United States.
And they were all in their official uniforms.
Oh, it was very colorful.
Impressive.
Bright. And, and they each have a little variation in their uniforms, and Mexico, and they had two state patrol officers who sang a duet. It was just gorgeous. They sang the Star-Spangled Banner, and then the Canadian National Anthem.
So would you say it was a baritone and a tenor?
It was a baritone and a tenor, and they arranged it, you know, so that they, within their range, and they didn't have those high, you know, glass-shattering notes. Right. It was gorgeous. And then a high school girl from North High School in Des Moines sang, Mexican-American, sang the Mexican national anthem. And the mayor of Des Moines, Frank County, welcomed everybody. And then I gave what they called the invocation, and I read a poem.
Which we now get to hear.
Get to hear. And this poem was written in August, just a little few years ago, a little bit before this time in August. It was during the meteor shower, which is my favorite. One of my favorite times of the year. And this is from my little acreage near Kelowna, and this night sky is spectacular there because I live in the middle of the Amish and nobody has any lights, so there's very little light pollution. And what I like to do the meteor shower is just camp out in my own pasture and lie on my back and watch the stars. And on this particular night, there was a Amish grandpa down the road who is dying, and what they do in the Amish culture is they put the dying person in the front parlor, and then they bring in, as he's passing away out of this world, they bring in a choir of young girls who sing hymns in harmony.
All a cappella.
To help you with that passage.
It was just lovely.
Beautiful. So this was all happening at once. And then it was a Sunday night. And Sunday night is date night in Amish land. And they go out, as far as I can figure, and go parking in buggies. And then they have a midnight curfew. So about 11:58, the buggies are racing up my hill.
Trying to get home.
Trying to get home on time. So title of this is Heaven? No, it's lying in a field in Iowa. Staring at the heavens, stars streaking the sky, their auras pulsing out, in. Night of the meteor shower, night of mosquito netting and pitch tent, the flap open to the eastern horizon. Hot, damp August night, when the rooster's crow folds into its perch, and the cricket's song dives into the same pool as the whippoorwill. Night of Augustus Caesar and St. Augustine. Amish date night, when the buggies race home late, their wheels spinning uphill, lanterns blinking, horses' manes flying. Pegasus of the tall corn, Pegasus of the fat bean. Under my sleeping bag is the richest earth on earth. And this is the night of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Prairie. The night crawlers floating up through layers of dark dirt. What awaits? A choir of angels. A chorus of sheep bleating out, how good is the grass? How good is the flesh? How good were the stars to lead me here? The year of the blue goat, brown duck. The year of the squawk and coo. The loyal dog who barked at strange men and storms. O little town of Kelowna, Hana Kelowna, Kahlua Kelowna, Bull Town, where the gardens are ringed in coxcones and cannas, and down the road little girls sing hymns outside the window of the dying man, propped with pillows near the screen. Their voices hover above me and are gone, a flock escaped from the barn. I chase them one way across the ditch, over the hill, through the neighbor's orchard and field. I chase them back toward the house, corner the ram against the fence. Then Ares is free and off through the grove with the ewes and lambs close behind. So bleat for the ones who never return, the ones who last just this long, the empty manger and stall. Bleat for the ones who come again, who ascend in the clear air, dark night, holy night, when sounds carry and trails of light flit over our heads, and bleat for the moon, the sun, the golden day when we will all lie down in a field, nothing more to be done.
Oh, And how was this received by the audience of 3,000?
I was astounded. They loved the poem, and they came up and embraced me afterwards and wanted copies of it and said it was a wonderful welcome to Iowa. They were from all over the world there, and they were very impressed with Des Moines in particular. And so, you know, you never know where you're going to find an audience for poetry. I was very happy to be invited and saw a whole different side of, you know, that kind of population than we've had in the news lately. So,
yeah. It's not just the guys that give us traffic tickets.
Right.
And not just the police. There are human beings that are in our police department.
Yeah, no, the president of the National Sheriff's Association came up to me and took a selfie of the two of us and bought a book and said he wanted to send the poem to several of his sheriff friends.
Oh, yeah, to serve and to protect.
Right, right. So
That's a wonderful recounting of the meteor shower. It comes. It's such a pleasure when you can actually catch it, and you caught a lot of other things same time.
It's such a sensual delight that night, and then all these other things were happening surrounding me at the same time. You know, basically, we just have to pay attention and take the time to look at the night sky, take the time to listen to the sounds of the night. I love that. And the things that are going by on the road and, you know, the voices that trail down the road and the horses, the corn
growing in the field.
Right. Right, yeah. Starting to make, you know, as it dries, it starts to make a really wonderful sound.
Yeah. Well, I always, when I managed to make myself go outside and laying down on the earth and looking up at the sky, you realize it's one of the few places left in the environment that is the ancients looked at practically the same thing.
Right.
It's very unchanged over millennia.
Yeah,
and gives you that good vast feeling, you know.
Right.
It's not that long ago that the ancients were looking at the sky. We'll be ancient sometime soon. Every now and then I get out my ever popular The Pagan Book of Days, which is a nice thing
it's
to
a
check.
Calendar, yeah.
It's a calendar. This calendar says August 25th, which is today. We celebrate the Italian earth goddess of sowing and reaping. Her name is Ops, O-P-S, Ops. And she's remembered by people sitting on the ground and having meals and ceremonies on the ground. And this is also the day of Vestal Virgins. So you know who you are out there. Celebrate the goddess Ops, the day of reaping. Yeah. What a nice thing to do this time of year.
You know, Ops.
Ops. Yeah. Oh, yes. Ops.
Yeah, and the Vestal Virgins were the guardians of the temple.
Mm-hmm. As well
and it was virgin in the sense of, you know, we've come to think of as a virgin as a, you know, unmarried, unexperienced woman. But the virgin originally means a woman unto herself, a self-governing, like she didn't have a husband. She wasn't controlled by any other thing other than divine inspiration.
There's a lot of power there.
I like that image.
Well, and your poem, Mary, had a mention of the Virgin in there. So, yeah,
sure.
It all comes around. It all comes around. We're talking about wonderful things that happen besides the
harvest,
meteor shower.
Nature.
Yeah. Tomatoes. Yes.
Ripeness, fecundity.
Yes.
And preservation.
And sheriffs and National Guard.
Exactly. That's the
Highway Patrol. Yeah.
We're all together
the,
here.
The good men.
That's it.
A few good men. We got a few good men.
That's
still right.
Yeah.
Good.
You were talking, Donna, about using crock pots and things to do your tomatoes. Donna gave me, and I will pass this on, Donna gave me a really good tomato processor. I had one of these a long time ago.
Non-electric.
Yeah, it's a plastic Italian-made tomato press.
Got a little crank it out.
Crank the tomatoes through. That cook tomatoes.
And clamp it to your tabletop. Mm-hmm. It has a little suction clamp.
that works beautifully. It's very well made. It's called a Velux, V-E-L-U-X. And I noticed on the one that Donna gave me, it says Super Velux. So you can find it on the internet, actually, V-E-L-U-X.
I got mine from like Williams-Sonoma something like that. You know, they're not that hard to find.
I have always enjoyed doing that. And like I said, by straining off the tomato water and freezing that separately, I end
up with the idea with the Velux, because the reason I gave it to Lana is because I have not used it, and I know she will. So it's the purpose is to de-seed and peel, right?
De-seed and peel. And it's a sturdy, sturdy little thing, and it will. It ends up with seedless and skinless tomato sauce, and then I suppose you could cook it down more for paste. And it also works beautifully for apples. Hmm. You can make wonderful applesauce without
cooked
apples, and you don't have to seed the apples. You don't have to peel the apples. You do have to take off these stems because somehow the stems kind of get stuck in there crossways. But it's thank you, Donna, for this great thing, and I'm sure everybody out there has their own little tomato technology maybe
The reason I don't use that one is because I've been using this what Mama used to call the ricer, which is this cone-shaped thing in its own stand that's about, maybe 12 inches high and has a pointy wooden pestle kind of thing that you just roll around and then it all dribbles through and holds back. I use that a lot for the applesauce. I use it for jams and I would use it for the tomato. Now, you run the raw tomatoes through the...
No, cook them.
So you cook them and then you run them through.
I don't think it handled raw tomatoes, but cooked apples, cooked tomatoes, cooked anything else, it works great. It's a little fussy to clean because it's got some moving parts in there, but it cleans up beautifully and
if you're doing lots, then it's definitely worth it.
Be prepared to make a mess. That's good. And I want to mention also, and I've been doing this for years, oven roasting tomatoes.
Talk easy peasy.
There you go. Now, this is the idea of capturing all of the juice in the tomato. So either cut the tomato in half or cut it in quarters and set the tomato on the skin. So you've got these little...
On a greased...
cookie sheet.
Yeah.
Again, with some sides on it, folks. Don't let this run off because you want all that juice. These candied tomatoes, by cooking them from a hot oven and reduce the heat.
All right, what temperature do you start at and how do you this is something Lana's very good at.
I've been doing this for years, and again, it is better than
this. Is really easy, guys. Catch this one now. Try it, Lana.
Right. You take medium-sized to small-sized tasty tomatoes, and this calls for 4 pounds or more. That kind of fills.
And I did find that it's important on a sheet to make them have relatively uniform size so they dry at the same.
Yeah.
Like if you got a bunch of big ones, put them on one sheet. Or
cut those big ones into quarters.
That's true. Make surface area. Because the small ones will burn up and dry up too much by the time the big ones have settled down.
So. The idea is we're not drying things here, folks. We are oven roasting. You want all the juice to kind of cook into the tomatoes. You end up, Mary used the term glop before or paste.
Glop.
You end up with glop, but this is not pureed together. This still is recognizably tomato chunks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Four or more pounds of ripe tomatoes, olive oil, it calls quarter cup.
You don't want
half
it too oily, but so they don't stick to the pan.
Yeah. And also you want to drizzle a little bit over the top when you get it all done. Mm-hmm. I do. And then salt and pepper if you like, garlic if you like.
I also use the olive oil spray for that, too.
Good
really
idea.
Easy way.
Good
to make it not too oily.
Mm-hmm. So you cut those tomatoes and put them skin side down on the pan. And you can
salt and pepper.
And
I also sprinkle some dried basil on them or oregano or marjoram so it cooks right in and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. And here's the trick. You preheat the oven to 400. Put the tomatoes
in. Yes, get the numbers right. This makes it so easy.
Okay.
And start at 400.
Set your timer and go do something else. Start at 400 and then bake 30 minutes. And then come back and turn down the heat to 350 bake for 30 minutes. Turn it down to 300, bake for 30 minutes. Turn it down to 250, bake for 30 minutes. Until the edges of the tomatoes are slightly darkened, you can tell them kind of cooking a little bit. Then turn off the oven, prop the door open a little bit, and let them to sit and mellow as the oven just slowly, slowly cools off. And it's, the recipe here says 4 to 6 hours, which is a great way to meet to say, go off and forget it for a while. And then long about time that you're ready to go to bed, you look in there, oh, I got to do something with the tomatoes. And you can scoop up these tomatoes, put them in a – I put them in a freezer bag. You can either just put them in the refrigerator in a glass container. I put them in freezer bags. They freeze beautifully. So there you go.
It's true. And you can keep some in the fridge to eat right away.
Do that.
And it has all kinds of uses over just fresh cooked noodles.
Pizza.
On toast. Just any way you can imagine. And I think it's the fastest, easiest way to deal with a glut of tomatoes.
Yeah. I've passed this recipe on to other people, and they come back to me raving about how it's a fuss to do it, but it is worth the fuss.
I think it's way less fuss than canning.
Oh, yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree.
You are listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking about what to do with all those tomatoes. This is KHOI 89.1 FM. This is Community Radio.
Por el camino del sitio mío, un carretero alegre pasó. Con sus canciones que muy sentida y muy guajira alegre cantó. Me voy al transbordador, pam pam, a descargar la carreta, pam pam. Me voy al transbordador, pam pam, a descargar la carreta, pam pam, para cumplir con la meta, pam pam, de mi pequeña labor. A caballo vamos pa'l monte, a caballo vamos pa'l monte, a caballo vamos pa'l monte, a caballo vamos pa'l monte. Yo trabajo.
We're back. This is the Donalana Kitchen.
We have to remember that tomatoes came from South America originally.
Oh, they did. So that's thank right. you, South America. That was some music from South America. Actually, that song was from Cuba, played by the group Calle Sur, who was in town to help celebrate KHOI's third birthday. They did a wonderful job.
Lovely party at Bar La Tosca.
Yes.
And a very entertaining address from a past FCC chairman who's in Iowa, and we were thrilled with he's immensely entertaining.
Yes.
Giving the history of radio.
Yes. Nicholas Johnson, another good Iowa person who had actually quite an effect on what radio is today. That's good. That's good. Anyway, that was a song called El Carretero. It's from Cuba. And another mention here, remember that no longer are we supposed to think of Cuba as part of the evil empire. Let's get on to doing some friendship building here.
Yeah, now we can go down and destroy it. I think the wonderful part of it is that the culture has been isolated long enough that they have gotten so creative. I mean, I guess you better rush down there and visit before they get all these new imported cars and make all the cultural transformations.
The agriculture's gone through amazing.
Oh yeah, they learn to become self-sufficient and grow their own gardens, and it's all organic because they couldn't import pesticides and
inputs,
fertilizers.
Right? And then the Soviet Union was supporting them in that, and then they pulled out, so they had to.
They had to do it.
And it was chaotic for quite a while. Now it's.
So let's get along with our friends to the south there, and maybe we can learn a few things, too. Donna, you've got some things to say about herbs.
Oh, yes. Of course, I'm into the lazy person's way to preserve, and I have to say herb drying is one of my favorite things. It's a perfect time. Well, I start picking now, and then, of course, just before the first frost, you run out and harvest everything that you've got. But right now, it's a good time to pick because they're really at their most flavorful. And like with basils, you want to pick them before they flower, those little spiky bits. And also, you want to pick them early in the morning after the dew is dried, because that's when they actually have the most volatile oils. Now, here's the wonderful thing. You know, we're used to buying all of our herbs at the supermarket dried. But if you dry your own, when you start, you know, using that, like, Thai basil. I do a lot of Thai basil because it's something you can't buy. I do a lot of lovage because it's something you can't buy. But even the regular basils, once you start using your own herbs, the potency of the flavor is so superior to the dried product. You know, the grocery store stuff is called C&S, cut and sifted is the method. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you really get a lot more punch when you're doing your own drying. So you use the scissors and you clip off the skin, cutting only the fresh new top growth, not the older, lower down stuff. And you avoid depleting the plant because it will keep on growing more. You harvest it fresh, and then to dry it, you want to tie it in bunches. I like to do a piece of twine, and not too many bunches not too many twigs in the, you know, because you want the air to get in there to dry it out. So I just use strings, and I actually hang them from the curtain rods in a not sunny window. The sun will, you know, bleach some of the flavor out. But if you hang them so that there's plenty of air circulating, you know, you see all these kind of old cottagey pictures where they're hung from the rafters. You do want them up high.
And yeah, that is not for interior decorating. That really, truly, that was very important to do.
They are charming. They are sweet.
They are charming
and
important.
And they smell good in the house, too. So, like, I'm going to be drying certainly lovage, some basils, and then some lemon verbena. I love to dry that.
That's nice.
Yeah, and we'll talk later also, maybe next show or next few shows, about how you grind some of these into sugars and salts and things like that. But start picking now and getting them going. Depending on the humidity, you just kind of, how I tell when they're dry, you know, aside from inspecting them, is when they start to get pretty dry, you'll see a few landing on the floor, and then they're dry. And then you gently, I just put out a newspaper or tear up a brown paper bag, and then you kind of strip them off the stems, because you don't need to save the stems, but you want the leaves to stay intact as possible, so that when you cook with them, you further crush them into the whatever you're cooking, and that releases the volatile oil. So they are, the more intact the leaf is, rather than cutting and sifting, you're preserving the oils, and then they'll have a fresh release burst when you put them into the food.
I've noticed that especially with basils.
Yes.
When there's basil dust, you have basil dust. But if you leave in a jar,
loosely packed in a glass jar in a dark place in the cupboard is the best.
With leaves as intact as possible.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to break a little bit. But then you can crush them, and yes, you'll get that. Those oils will re-release, and they're quite lovely.
And the other thing I'm probably going to start pretty soon is the vinegars. Tarragon vinegar is a great thing. I've been using a rice wine vinegar for my vinegars, but, you know, you could use, I was thinking maybe even a golden balsamic might be good for that. You know, I think white vinegar, you know, distilled is a little too abrasive. You could even use apple cider vinegar, but my favorite are something that are not quite so cutting. And you just, you know, take a glass jar, stuff it full of fresh leaves, basil. You can even stick in a piece of garlic, too, there. Or basil and lovage, or, of course, tarragon is the classic. You could even put a little sherry in the tarragon vinegar, I would think, or sherry vinegar to give it really another oomph of flavor. But you just put them in jars, screw the lid on, put them in the pantry, And they will just go and go and go. It, you don't want to use them right away. I would say let them sit 3 weeks or more. But you'll see, because the vinegar will start to color up from the herb, and you'll smell them. So those are two really easy ways to conserve the harvest.
Very good. And this is the time to do it. Don't wait until the first frost for these
no,
things,
from
folks.
Now till the frost.
We'll be busy doing lots of other things along about first frost. So let's get out in the garden and enjoy it. I want to share with you something.
Oh, yes. Lana has some really interesting relatives.
Well, of course I've got interesting relatives. And right. They listen to this show,
too. The nut
too.
Doesn't fall far from the tree, guys. Here?
Here we go. Well, I've shared my aunt's recipes with you before. And this, I have a very favorite aunt. She's my godmother, actually. Her name is Aunt Tiny. That's T-I-N-Y, Aunt Tiny. And yes, she is the shortest one of the bunch. Yes. And this is a recipe, and it has to do with gardens. It has to do with summertime, and it has to do with good humor. This is called Aunt Tiny's Dirt Cake. So Aunt Tiny was always a very good aunt to me, and I always loved her sense of humor. She had a flair for things. Aunt Tiny's Dirt Cake mainly has to do with the presentation of this. It's just a really sweet sort of cake, and it is served in a flower pot with plastic flowers stuck in it to make it look like a flowers, and it's served with a trowel. Donna, read that recipe, and if your teeth don't hurt because of all the sugar in it, just reading the recipe, I don't know what. Go ahead and read that recipe.
Oh, boy, I think Aunt Tiny had a sense of humor. So this is Aunt Tiny's Dirt Cake. What do you think the vintage of this is? The 50s? Late 60s, probably.
60s,
yeah, right,
so.
Because you'll know when I read the ingredients. Okay, so you combine 1/4 cup of margarine. That's probably softened margarine. 8 ounces of cream cheese, and I would say that's probably also softened. 3/4 cup of powdered sugar, and you mix all that up. Then you add 12 ounces of Cool Whip.
There you go.
Bravo. 3 cups of milk and 2 packages of French vanilla instant pudding. Now, that's something I grew up with and loved. And you crush 1 large package of Oreos cookies with the white in them, too?
Well, I don't know. That's how she gave me the recipes. I think she was planning on me sitting at her kitchen table unscrewing the cookies and eating out the middle.
Eating the white
that
part
That probably
out.
Was part of it. But anyway,
so
it's the chocolatey cookie things.
You cross those. Probably with a rolling pin is a good way.
Yeah.
And then you take the flour pot. I'm assuming you plug the hole in the bottom
good
somehow.
Good idea.
And I'm assuming it's a clean one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you alternate layers of Oreos and pudding. I think an 8-inch flower pot, maybe.
That's what it says.
And you let it set up in the refrigerator, and then you serve it with the flowers garnished.
Oh, you
and the trowel.
You get yourself some good old plastic flowers and stick those in it, and then you carry that pot around the table, and you serve the whole thing with a trowel and a good smile, and there you have it. So Aunt Tiny's Dirt Cake. Enjoy summer. Yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to, in my mind, trying to make a translation to something a little healthier. So I'm going, okay.
It's summer. It's a party.
1/4 cup of butter.
We just had a birthday party for KHOI. There was cake there, too. We have to celebrate that.
I bet a contemporary one would be the butter, the cream cheese, the powdered sugar, 12 ounces of whipped cream, and then instead of milk and instant pudding, you could probably just make 3 cups of vanilla pudding and mix it all together and put the cookies in it.
And eat the whole thing with a trowel. There you go.
I like the trowel part.
We've been talking about tomatoes and cake, and we'll go out with some more music by Kale Sue here. There's a lot of good things going on in the garden this year. And this summer, we got ripe tomatoes up the gazoo. Thanks to Mary Swander for joining us today.
Laureate.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen with Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Support this radio station. This is a community radio station, a community effort. We share what we know and enjoy it, too. We had excellent engineering by Rick Morrison. Eat good food and enjoy life.
Mi mi padre, siendo tan pobre, dejó una herencia fastuosa. Mi padre, siendo tan pobre, dejó una herencia fastuosa.
Para dejar de ser cosa, dijo con ánimo entero, ponga atención, mi compadre, que vienen nuevos negreros. Zambalando, zambalando.